Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. I thank you. I can realize that it was me. We thank you for all that you've done besides just dying for us. But you've made us free, free from the bondage of sin and death. And what a day that'll be when we look on your face for the first time. Lord, use this time together this morning to encourage our hearts. Bless our hearts with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I get into the message, I wanted to share a little bit of residual thanksgiving. Your bulletin there has some things in it that's pretty good. Being thankful, I think, is one of the things that we need to just continue to pursue. It's easy to have Thanksgiving and enjoy all the meal and enjoy the baked Alaska that we had last Sunday and all the work that Roy put into that. Also, I wanted to just thank Liam and Ray Lynn, along with Daddy, who came and did the Christmas decoration. Steve, you passed that on to that thank you on to them for us. We do appreciate it. We're thankful for that. But I just wanted to start this morning with a little bit of a lighthearted thing about Thanksgiving. This last week, we had a thing in our mailbox from our illustrious Brian Shortmeyer, our director. And I thought it was really good. I know that Bertha and I had a good time with it. So I want to start with that this morning about a Thanksgiving surprise. Okay? The turkey shot out of the oven and rocketed into the air. It knocked every plate off of the table and partially demolished a chair. It ricocheted into a corner and burst with a deafening boom, then splattered all over the kitchen, completely obscuring the room. It stuck to the walls and the windows. It totally coated the floor. There was turkey attached to the ceiling where there'd never been turkey before. It blanketed every appliance. It smeared every saucer and bowl. There wasn't a way I could stop it. The turkey was out of control. I scraped and I scrubbed with displeasure, and then thought with chagrin as I mopped that I'd never again stuff a turkey with popcorn that hadn't been popped. Yeah, that's a good thing, folks. Don't ever stuff your turkey with popcorn that hadn't been popped. You know, how many blessings do you have this morning that you're thankful for? Well, we have a lot. Right now, I can think of 23,000 blessings that God gives me every day. 23,000. And that's my breath. You realize that you breathe 23,000 times a day? Well, that's a lot of breath. In my 78 and a half years, that means that I've breathed approximately 3 billion times. We have a lot to be thankful for in what God does. We have the heart and everything that our bodies are made of. All right. I want to talk a little bit this morning about understanding today's current events and how they affect the future. Now, we quite often do a little segment on Sunday mornings of current events and God's Word. Well, this is just a little bit of an extension of that with a little bit more. I don't know how you feel about it, but I know Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he says, Paul says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Then in Revelation chapter 3, or chapter 2, verse 3, when John is talking to the church of Ephesus, Jesus said this, "You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary." I trust that we can, in these days, not grow weary. I would like to start with a scripture this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This particular topic is the man of lawlessness being revealed. In chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says to the Thessalonians, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or disturbed either by spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." That apostasy there we've talked about. Some would say that's Christians falling away. But when you look at that word in the Greek and everything, it really gives us the idea that he's talking about the rapture, the taking us away in the rapture. And then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. I'm sharing this verse particularly with something you'll see a little bit later on. This man of destruction, he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. "Do you not remember while I was still with you, I was telling you these things?" Evidently, they had gotten a little bit shaken up here because they were afraid that this day had been told, that this day had already happened. "And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed." In his time, there's a particular time that he's going to be revealed. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." The Holy Spirit is restraining. God has his timing. "Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth." What a weapon. "And bring to an end by the appearance of his Christ coming." That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. This guy has some real power, okay? "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit in the faith of the truth." We've been chosen for salvation. We haven't been chosen for wrath. And that's something that can be of a tremendous encouragement to our hearts. We've got a lot of things to cover this morning, and I want to try to move along as quickly as I can. I don't know, do you get the feeling weary about things that are happening? Well, I don't know that we want to condemn ourselves if we get weary, but we need to have a way to keep from allowing that to have a real effect on us. The goal that I have this morning is threefold. It's how today's events are affecting our lives as believers, and to help us be aware of how current events are fitting into prophecy, and to strengthen, to live above our circumstances, our difficulties, by recognizing the great cloud of witnesses that are surrounding us, and by keeping our focus on Christ, as we'll see a little bit later from Hebrews chapter 12. Chet's message is, and he's going to be speaking next week, and I think it's his last message, isn't it, Bob?
There's two more.
He's got two more. Okay, he's got two more. And he's been talking on the armor of God, that God has provided for us as believers. And those messages, I believe, are so important and so on point for us today, considering just exactly what is happening with our circumstances in these current events that we're going to look at here in just a minute. How are these current events affecting us? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy to be diligent to present himself approved to God, a workman that's not ashamed, rightly handling the word of God. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, Paul tells him again, he says, but realize this, that in the latter times, difficult times are going to come. Okay, we're going to be spared, I believe, from the tribulation. I believe Scripture is absolutely clear on that. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to face some difficult times. How much those times are going to become difficult for us, we really don't know. For some time, we've had it relatively easy living under the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights. We've had a privilege that is nowhere found anywhere in the world. And I want to tell you that this time that we've had, I guess, has kind of had the tendency to set us on easy street, so to speak, in comparison to how things are in the rest of the world. We know that there's places in the world this morning that even to name the name of Christ is a sentence of death. It can be that severe. The stark reality, I believe, of what we're seeing happening right now in our current events that are negatively impacting our lives. I want to tell you, it's difficult for those of us particularly who were born and raised under the freedom of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the freedoms that that provided, to having that just ripped away from us by corrupt government under the guise of protecting us from COVID-19 virus. However, we know that understanding God's word and what is really going on and why it's going on can help us. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, not to be quickly shaken from our composure or to be disturbed by what is being taken away from us. Common remarks that we hear, I wish things would return to normal. I guess I've said that myself. I want it the way things were before COVID-19. I'm tired of being told I need to wear a mask or I need to be vaccinated. I've heard others say they can't take hearing about another tragedy like we heard of the unspeakable tragedy from Wisconsin this last Sunday evening. I'll tell you, when you hear that and you think that children, to all the way to grandmothers, were killed in that, it was senseless. And I'll tell you, it is hard to hear that. Division. Remember the old adage, united we stand, divided we fall? Of course you remember that. Well, those that are trying to cram critical race theory and Black Lives Matter and other things like it down our throats, they know that statement's true, and that's exactly where they're coming from. I don't hesitate to make this statement, but critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, and the rest of it that's going on like that, that's just Marxism wrapped in new wrapping paper. That's all it is. They know that if they can cancel our culture and take us away from our history, destroy our history, they know that they'll set us up for a global network of nations that really appears to drawing close to fulfillment. I don't deny that basic human rights have been denied based on skin color. And are being denied based on skin color. I don't deny that. But you know, it's just not African Americans that are suffering that. It's also Native Americans. Look what they've suffered because of their skin color. There's others. There's Japanese and others who have suffered the same fate. Scripture teaches this, that it's wrong to deny people their basic rights based on their skin color or anything else. The great jab debate. This division from our American heritage doesn't stop there with American heritage. The division goes on. And it's crept into our families and our local Christian fellowships. Unfortunately, I see it happening even among those who have given their lives to preach the gospel, to where we have our differences of opinion as to whether to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated. And that's something that shouldn't go on. Both sides of that offer what they feel is the evidence or the proof as to why they believe what they believe. Whatever side we're on, we need to be careful that we do not condemn the other side as violating Scripture. This debate is not about the gospel. Okay? It's important, and each one has the right to believe how they want to believe, because we don't want to condemn others that believe differently about this based on the fact that they're violating Scripture. Peer pressure. Many are reporting that when they talk to friends and family about the second coming of Christ, that they're tuned out or they're outright told, I don't want to hear that nonsense. That's been being said for a long time and it's never happened. Well, there's a particular verse of Scripture that gives us the idea that maybe there's a problem with that particular theology. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, he says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Well, they even had that time, that problem back when Peter was writing. Some are saying that they're afraid to say anything around family and friends because they're going to create a violent situation. Then there's the unreliable and fake news. I must admit that oftentimes it's hard to listen to the news because of all of the negativity, the prejudice, outright lies of those who are opposed to biblical worldview. The events of the news today are often causes us to want to hide our head in the sand so we don't have to deal with the situation as they arise. But that can be very dangerous. That's like crossing the street without looking on a busy street corner. If you do, you're likely to get run over. And so these things are important that we talk about in order that we might deal with them in an effective way. Well, how do current events really fit into prophecy? That's the second thing we want to talk about this morning. The Great Reset. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 through 18. I'll read that for us this morning. Revelation 13, verses 13 through 18. It says this, "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to earth, he persecuted the woman and gave..." Excuse me, that's verse, chapter 12. I wonder why that didn't look right. Okay, let's go to chapter 13, verse 13. "He performs great signs so that even makes fire to come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of man, and his number is 666. I share that scripture this morning to help us to understand that what we're talking about right now, we're not talking about things that are happening as receiving the mark of the beast. That is something that's going to happen, and it's not going to happen until halfway through the tribulation, when the beast and the false prophet are worshiping. For some time, we've talked about the New World Order, the coming Great Reset that leads to one world economy. All the necessary instruments to accomplish the Great Reset are in place and have been for some time. Listen to this clip this morning.
George H.W. Bush.
"We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It's not just the Democrats. And I'm sure many of you voted for President Bush But I remember when I heard him make that statement, I remember where I was even when the first time I heard it. And I tell you, it has sent goosebumps up my spine. What are we talking about? A new world order? Yeah. Up until recently, many of those that are pushing globalism have maintained a low-key status. However, the global pandemic has emboldened government leaders to act out in the open in an unregulated, authoritative manner managed by their own rules and lies, all under the guise of protecting us from COVID-19. Hey, COVID-19 is real. It's not something that is not serious. It is serious. Otherwise, it wouldn't work to do what's being done with it. One thing that is sure about this is it's being used to the greatest advantage, and the many are deceived in supporting it. Never before have governments all over the globe acted in unison and with the same tactics to try to control people. The stage is set of a one-world government. In reality, this all started back with Nimrod. He was the first one. Make no mistake, Satan is the instigator. He will have his man rule, but only on God's timing. God says when it's going to be. Almighty God is the one who controls the clock. As we read there, in 2 Thessalonians, it's up to God when this is going to happen. There are four major government organizations that are being used to bring about a one-world government. The first one is the World Bank. The World Bank Group, WBG. The World Bank Group works in every major area of development around the world. They say, we provide a wide array of financial products and technical assistance, and we help countries share and apply innovative knowledge and solutions to the challenges they face. Their motto is, working for a world free of poverty. Think about that. What does that really mean? Working for a world free of poverty. Well, what's going on right now with Marxism? What's really happening? What they're really talking about is maybe a combination of socialism, communism, Marxism, that controls the people. Their headquarters is in Washington, D.C., with 189 member countries. Altogether, we figure that there's 195 countries within the world. And right now, the World Bank is dealing with 189 countries. They have staff of from more than 170 countries that are involved in the World Bank. And they have offices in over 130 locations. The World Bank Group is a unique global partnership. Five institutions working for sustainable solutions that reduce poverty and build shared prosperity in developing countries. Explore raw data and manage global funds. Our credit cards are tied to the World Bank. Every purchase is tracked through them. What power? I shared this before, but recently I rented a little U-Haul trailer from U-Haul. And in the process, I had to pay for it with a credit card. She said, you have to pay for it with a credit card. We don't have any other method of payment. We don't take cash. Don't take a check. So I gave her my credit card. And she said, but our credit card reader is down, so I have to call it in. So she went over to the phone and she, good morning, World Bank. My credit card is tied to the World Bank. They have the ability to track our purchases. Alongside of this is the international, the second one is the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. It's also headquartered in D.C. The IMF oversees the stability of the world's monetary system. They oversee the stability of the world's monetary system, while the World Bank aims to reduce poverty by offering assistance to middle and low income. The IMF was established in 1944 in the aftermath of the Great Depression of the 1930s. 44 founding member countries sought to build a framework for international economic cooperation. Today, its membership embraces 190 countries with a staff from 150 nations. That's the International Monetary Fund. What's going to happen with this monetary fund? We're coming to that very, very quickly, hopefully. The third thing, the third organization is the SWIFT Exchange. Up until recently, I wasn't even aware of the SWIFT Exchange. This comes directly from their home page. This is what they say. SWIFT is the way the world moves value. We do this every single instant of every single day. 24 hours a day, 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours in a day, every single instant, we do it every single day, right across the U.S., the world. Drawing the world together. No other organization can address the scale of precision, pace, or pace. SWIFT is unique. They say, we were established in 1970 to find a better way for the global financial community to move value. In the move to create a cashless economy, this is extremely critical. We shared just a week or so ago that there's a number of countries that are getting close to cashless. We're working on it here in the U.S., but Sweden is 99% cashless. By 2025 or before, they will be 100% cashless. The next thing, the third one, you've got the World Bank and the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. The second government agency is the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization is responsible for the major trade agreements that began in 1944. That first general agreement on terrorists was the GATT, the G-A-T-T. The General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade. Then 50 years later, in 1994, Bill Clinton created NAFTA. Now, I'm sure we've all heard of NAFTA and what's been going on back with Trump and pulling us out of the North American Free Trade Agreement. 10 years later, in 2004, we have the CAFTA, or the Central America Free Trade Agreement. Then things really began to speed up. In 2005, a year later, free trade agreements with the Americans uniting the whole Western Hemisphere. In 2007, the free trade agreement spread to Asia, Asia Pacific, Central America, Central Europe, Common Market, Africa, Greater Arab Nations, South Asia, Transatlantic Canada, U.S., Mexico, and Eastern Europe. Then there was one more that they were wanting to put into practice, and that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP. That was made up of 12 nations, Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and the United States and Vietnam. But something happened. God's timing is perfect. God says when it's going to happen. You can think what you want about Donald Trump, but I really believe God put him in office at a particular time, because what he did, he set in motion the delay of a hell-bent world to a one-world government. The world is bent on that and in doing everything they can. The earth dwellers, those that do not know God, those that are that deny God. This Trans-Pacific Partnership of these 12 nations, on the surface, looked really good, because what it was going to do is going to diminish the amount of taxes that were between the countries, so that they could reduce the cost of living to the consumer, because they didn't have to pay all these taxes. Well, that really sounds good, right? Well, sounds good to me, but is it good? It looked good. All of the signatories in the world that would lower tariffs would in turn lower consumer costs around the world. Well, maybe it would in a perfect world, but we don't live in a perfect world, at least not yet. The debate over the trade deal, opposition to the TPP deal, centered around a number of themes. The secrecy surrounding the negotiation was considered anti-democratic, and there was a lot of secrecy around this agreement, a lot of things that weren't brought up and said. In addition, the opponents said that the trade deals are believed to be the source of foreign competition that contributes to a loss of U.S. manufacturing jobs. Furthermore, some in opposition were disturbed by the Investor-State Dispute Agreement, the ISDS. It was a clause. They put this clause in there, and that clause would allow corporations to sue governments that didn't go, that cheated in this deal. And well, that sounds good. Somebody's got to hold them accountable, but there are a couple of problems with that. In my opinion, there's at least two things wrong with that clause. If a national government can be sued for violation of the agreement, those suits would be tremendously expensive for the government. Could actually bring a government down. And as a result, you would have hyperinflation rather than lowering inflation. More importantly, it would allow a strong entity to dominate and control national governments. I wonder who that might be. At the end of the Obama administration, Mitch McConnell said there wasn't time to pass the deal, so it was left in limbo, and along came nationalist Donald Trump. He recognized the deal and what it was for, and he pulled the U.S. out, and that left the deal in limbo. They're trying to get it to go again, but it hasn't yet. It will happen, but not until God says so. Another organization we need to talk about, time is running out here, but is non-government organizations, NGOs. And you're going to hear that just real quickly here in just a minute. There are one particular non-government energy organization is the World Economic Forum, the WEF. The Great Reset begins in 1971 with little-known Klaus Schwab, a German economist and mechanical engineer in Switzerland when he established the World Economic Forum. It has grown today to perhaps the most important NGO network in the world for the globalist power elite. All of those that are filthy rich. That is funded by approximately 1,000 large multinational corporations. We're talking big corporations. Like Chase Bank and others like that. We need to understand that in order for the Great Reset to happen, you need to have the cooperation of the non-government, the business, and the government. How is it that 190 governments from all over the world ended up dealing with COVID-19 pandemic in almost the exact same manner, with mandatory lockdowns, mask mandates, and vaccination mandates with vaccine cards, which are necessary for proof in some travel and to attend some events? The answer is in the Young Global Leader School. I'll skip over a few things here to come to the end of this. We're almost finished with it. There's an economist, journalist from Germany, Ernest Wolf. He's revealed some facts about Swift's, about Schwab's Young Global Leader School that are relevant for understanding the world events during the pandemic. Attendees at the school must apply for admission and then are subject to a very rigorous selection process. Members of the school's very first class in 1992 include many who went on to become important liberal political figures such as Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, Tony Blair. There are currently about 1,300 graduates from this school, and the list of alumni includes several names of those who went to become leaders in health institutions of their respective nations. Other names are the Prime Minister of New Zealand, whose lockdown measure included arrest, and then globalists, Emmanuel Macron, President of France, Sebastian Kurz, Chancellor of Austria, California Governor Gavin Newsom, former presidential candidate and current U.S. Secretary of Transportation Peter Buttigieg, all of these politicians who were in office during the past 2 years have favored harsh responses to COVID-19. And which also happened considerably to increase their respective government power. But the school's list alumni is not limited to political leaders. We also find the captains of private industry there, including Microsoft, Bill Gates, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, Virginia's Richard Branson, and the Clinton Foundation's Chelsea Clinton. These are all ones that have been in this school. And this school is a definite globalist school. I got just a couple of more things here I want us to see. The Committee of Parties, that's the COP26 reset, okay? Prince Charles calls for a vast military-style campaign to radically transform global economy.
Renewable and sustainable. So, ladies and gentlemen, my plea today is for countries to come together to create the environment that enables every sector of industry to take the action required. We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector.
Military campaign.
With trillions at his disposal.
At his disposal.
Far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
That is eye-opening, isn't it? Even beyond the government's manageability. Did you get that? It said he will need trillions of dollars to support the military-style campaign. He. Not a government.
Does that mean the Antichrist?
Well, I don't believe that's the Antichrist. Not yet, anyway. Who the he is that he is referring to, after I did a lot of research, I don't know how many hours I spent researching this, but I found out that Abdullah Shahid is the current incoming president of the UN. And what he's talking about there is talking about the UN to control it. And the he would be the president of the UN, as far as I can figure. Now, what might that transpire into? I don't know. I can't say, because I don't have any scripture to back it up. I do have one more quick video clip. I didn't get all the way to the end of the message here. But I'll just make a quick thing.
Managed quite considerably.
Al Gore.
And your Climate Trace Coalition uses satellites to monitor greenhouse gas emissions. How significant will this technology be for holding countries and companies accountable?
Well, yes, we use it's a coalition of artificial intelligence companies and NGOs. We get data continuously from 300 existing satellites, more than 11,000 ground-based, air-based, sea-based sensors, multiple internet data streams, and using artificial intelligence, all that information is combined, visible light, infrared, all of the other information that is brought in, and we can now accurately determine where the greenhouse gas emissions are coming from. And next year, we'll have it down to the level of every single power plant, refinery, every large ship, every plane, every waste dump, and we'll have the identities of the people who are responsible for each of those greenhouse gas emission streams. And if investors or governments or civil society activists want to hold them responsible, they will have the information upon which to base their action in holding them responsible.
I don't know. Do you want to be held responsible by the activists and the investors? That's exactly where it's headed. That is exactly where it is headed. Our time is gone, but I have to. There's some more that I could comment on that. But anyway, you get the picture that they have the ability this next year to track every single offender of the global warming, or supposed global warming. Yeah. I want us to close with this verse of scripture in Hebrews. We don't want to leave it on that negative note. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. What a privilege. To enter the holy place in the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, his death. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'll tell you, it's approaching fast. In assembling ourselves together, we don't want to forsake that. And that is something that today has become so very prevalent. The problem with forsaking ourselves, forsaking getting together ourselves, is me to be a blessing to you and you to be a blessing to me. That we can be a blessing to each other, that we can encourage each other and help each other to stand firm, as Chet's been teaching. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore, in the grace that God has provided. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for this precious promise that you've given to us, the precious privilege that we have to come to you, come before you to get our strength. We realize that if we labor in our own strength, we're doomed to fail. And so this morning we rely upon you and upon your strength that you have provided through your word. Help us in these days to be ever lights out into a shine, into a lost dark world, shining as lights of salvation to all. Thank you for your love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.